Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Our special guest joining us for today's episode is Art Stevens. Art is president of retail banking at Trustmark, headquartered in Jackson, Mississippi. With more than 30 years of experience in the financial services industry, Art has enjoyed customer service side of banking in a variety of capacities and locations. He has a unique perspective on the fundamental role banks play in the development of local community and has been asked to speak on various related topics from leadership to careers to the latest outlook for the economy. Art, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Daniel. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're really excited to have you because you do have 30 plus years of experience in the banking industry. So we're excited to have your perspective on today's episode. But before we jump into the topics, I like to give my guests a chance to kind of introduce themselves and how they got started in the banking sector. So Art, how did you get started in banking?
Well, that's interesting. I guess I just stumbled into it, to tell you the truth. I started with Trustmark 37 years ago this June. And started on a training program right out of college. And my entire career has been here and, of course, in the industry. I got into banking mainly at the advice of a college professor advisor who told me that banking was a good place to go and learn a lot about different kinds of businesses. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And he steered me to banking for that reason. And I came to work at Trustmark and have really enjoyed my time here.
Oh, so that's fantastic. So you've actually been at Trustmark for all those years of experience.
That's exactly right.
So you really have seen like all sides of the industry. I'm like starting out from the bottom and kind of working your way up to the chain and everything.
Well, that's right. My first job off of the training program was in our residential real estate department doing builder lines and that type of thing. Then I moved into our community bank network and some of our newly acquired banks back then, you know, banks were buying banks, you know, just consolidating. Mm-hmm. So I went to a few of those in our footprint and they gave me the opportunity to run one as president. And then I ran another one as president. Then I started running groups of banks and, and moved back to the home office probably about 15 years ago and have been running our system since then.
Oh, that's perfect. That really gives a lot of credit to the perspective you bring. So we're, as I said, we're really excited to have you on today's episode. So as we were discussing about topics that we were going to talk about today, we'd mentioned a few of them like ITM deployment and universal bankers that I think are just perfect for today's episode. So if it's all right with you, I'd actually like to start with ITM deployment. Sure. For those listeners of ours who aren't maybe too familiar with what it is, what is ITM?
Well, ITM is the term is an interactive teller machine, and it's a machine that is remotely operated by a group of tellers that are in a teller center that can remotely operate these machines. They can do about 90-95% of everything you could do at a teller line, you can do at an interactive teller machine. And so we've deployed quite a few of them. We started with a pilot about 6 years ago where we bought 11 and we put them at different places in our footprint. Now we're up to 117 machines.
So I know, so the difference between the ITM and the ATM is the fact that the ITM actually has someone on the backside that's running the transactions and approving the transactions. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now, the ITM can be used as an ATM, but you staff the teller center at certain hours, and through the machine you can access just on a screen, you can have access to a teller who can make decisions, who can transfer money, who can make change, who can help with different types of transactions, make payments, all sorts of things that you can't do through an ATM, you can do with an assisted transaction.
Okay. And so from a customer service perspective, how do you see this really impacting your customer base?
Yeah, our customer base has loved it. Now, again, I told you we started with 11 in a pilot program, and we put them different places, and we learned a lot from that. We learned, for instance, we put one in the middle of a branch that we cohabitate with Starbucks, and we learned that it's 7 o'clock in the morning in a room full of people. Nobody wants to talk to a teller, right? I mean, they just, they don't want to have that conversation in a room full of strangers. But what we did learn was that our customers really appreciated the experience in a drive-through setting, because if you think about an experience with a tube, you've got a teller on a screen, you're talking to her through a screen anyway, the transaction's going back and forth through a tube. So the customer experience is very similar in an ITM, and our customers like it because we're able to operate longer hours. We go from 7 in the morning until 7 at night. We can do Saturday hours. We hire the best of our best tellers there, so they get to know the customers just like you would in a local branch environment. And so our customers have really accepted that as a method of delivery.
So when it comes to actually like the pilot program and rolling that out, were you part of the initial conversation to start this pilot program?
Sure. Yeah. We were. And again, we knew the technology was out there. We thought it had some application, and we just weren't sure what application would actually work for us. But this works. Our customers like it. It's an efficiency play for us because one interactive teller can operate 4 or 5 different machines.
Perfect. I didn't realize that they could operate that many. So that does really increase the amount of work you can get done from one employee and can consolidate costs like that. Mm-hmm. So then what was the driving factor that really, because I know you said you've got over 100 machines right now, right? So what was the driving factor to really ramp up this scale? Because you had just the pilot program before. What was the clincher that's like, yeah, this is it. This is what we want to do.
You know, I would say it was probably a piece of our overall branch modernization effort, right? We like a lot of banks, our bank's over 130 years old. We built the bank through acquisition. So we bought banks in small towns all over, you know, really all over Mississippi and Alabama and other places. And so we inherited what those footprints look like. What you would have in the center of town, you have a main office on a town square. And then you have a couple of branches that operated as your motor branches. And as teller transactions started decreasing, as checks started decreasing, we realized, like everybody else does, we've got way too much square footage, and it's just not an efficient footprint. So we started looking for ways that we can consolidate our footprint, we could shrink our footprint, we could make our footprint smaller, more efficient, more modern, more customer friendly, and ITMs kind of played into that overall plan.
So have you had success then shrinking your physical building footprint compared to what you were before?
Oh, absolutely. Probably at the height, we had something like 225 branches. We've got 169 today, and we'll likely close another 5 or so this year. And we're not just closing, we're opening, along the way. Sometimes we remodel branches. Sometimes we take 2 branches and we build 1. Sometimes we just enter new markets, so it's not just a straight reduction effort, but yes, we have brought our branch count way down.
So with the decrease in branch count, obviously one of the biggest concerns is that you'd have a reduced customer base, or you'd have the inevitable loss of customers whenever you close a branch. Have you experienced anything with that since you have employed things like ITM to really make that more convenient for customers?
Sure, we have done a pretty good job at it, and we have reduced customer attrition. I'm not going to say that every customer is happy when the branch closest to them closes, right? We've had some feedback along those lines, but through the technology, through ITMs, through the mobile, through DocuSign, online account opening, and the fact that what we're finding is that our customers still like branch activity. Most of our customers still come to the branches. They just don't come as often, right? And so used to, they would come every day because they had to check their balance and they had to make a deposit and they had to get some cash. Now they don't come quite as much. So if we're able to offer the customer a newer branch, a more modern branch, an easier branch to access, and layer on these digital channels, then the customer tends to be pretty happy.
Yeah. I mean, for myself personally, the last time I went to the branch was just for a notary, and the time before that was for a notary as well. So I can't say that I myself go to the branch all the time. So I completely understand. So you mentioned an element of mobile banking. Have you done huge developments in that as well to correlate with the ITM deployment?
Oh yes, I mean, it's been a concerted effort, but with our mobile banking platform, of course, we had one like most people do, where you can view balances and transfer and that type of thing. But we started layering in different self-service type options where check orders you can do through your mobile app, you can do stop payments through your mobile app. And then the big thing was when we rolled out mobile deposit. We're doing 46,000 deposits a month through our mobile app now. And what we find is that if we can get somebody onto our mobile app, 85% of those customers are active in that app. And it's mostly a self-serve. I mean, they don't have a question. They know what they want to do. They can do it themselves, and they like that.
So as president of retail banking, what does that conversation look like? So when you're looking at developing a new product, or you're looking at rolling out a new element to mobile banking, like how does that conversation begin? Who does that conversation happen with? What does this look like?
Well, and I'm sure it's different from bank to bank. We tend to be we tend to be early adopters. We don't tend to be the first people to try something, but we tend to have a group of folks who are looking at the landscape and seeing what other people are trying and seeing what we think might work and what we think might could complement what we're already doing. Again, we're looking at it in the context of how do we have fewer branches, more modern branches, continued commitment to our communities and our customers, but in just more a more efficient way. So it's all part of that strategy.
So do you have like a team that monitors like the different tools that other banks are using, or do you have just more of a ad hoc is like, hey, look, somebody has this on there and they bring it up inside of a committee somewhere and it works its way up the chain. How do you find out about the new feature?
Yeah, we've. I mean, our bank. I mean, I don't know how familiar people are with our bank, but our bank has got a little bit of scale. We're in 5 states. We're $18 billion, and so we are fortunate enough to have a few people, a small department full of people who can look at the new technologies, test some of the new technologies, go to the trade shows, talk to the vendors, and stay abreast of what's going on out there.
That's fantastic. So just having that dedicated team, I'm sure, has made it substantially easier to stay on that, again, not first adopters, but early adopters curve. That way you are ahead of a chunk of the market. So I think that's a great position.
Exactly right.
So one of the other elements you had mentioned to me while we were talking was universal bankers and rolling out universal bankers models in across your 169 branches. What is a universal banker? What's their role?
Yeah, that's a great question because different banks define it different ways. The way we present it, we call them relationship bankers in our bank, and it's a banker who is trained or is able to be trained to handle all branch transactions that a customer might want. And so we've put forward a program in place where we train our people and send our people to learn opening accounts, doing teller transactions, doing consumer lending, all sorts of different things, and provide them a career path in that direction. Now, again, we complement that with the branch transformation that we're trying to do. As we build these more modern branches, they have a more open feel. We have teller pods versus teller lines, where tellers can walk around. We have consultative areas where where the associate can take somebody and have a private conversation if they need to open an account or something like that. So we've created a more free-flowing environment, mainly so that our employees are not tellers and they're not locked behind a cage and they're not waiting on somebody to come in. Now we still have, we probably have we probably have 800 branch associates in our footprint, and 30 or so of them are still tellers because we have locations that dictate somebody do that all day, every day. But for the most part, all of our people are now cross-trained and they're able to do other things and they're able to actively assist any customer that walks in the door.
So was there any pushback from the branch level employee when they're hearing like, hey, look, we're all switching to Universal Bankers. Congratulations, tellers, you're not going to be opening up accounts. Congratulations, bankers, you're not going to be running transactions. Did you get any kind of pushback regarding this, or was it just like, yeah, let's do this?
I think every time there's change, there's pushback, right? I mean,
True.
we're all creatures of habit. But what I would say is it went much smoother than I ever expected it to, and for two reasons. Number one, we did have to look at our incentive and compensation structure. So we had to provide something for our associates that really embraced this concept and really bought in, and we did that. But secondly, what we found was our folks really want to learn. I mean, most folks come to work every day and they want to help their customer. They want to invest in their community. They believe in what they do. They're passionate about what they do. And so if you give them the opportunity to learn something new that will then help their customer, they really embraced that and bought into that. I'm proud of our folks. They did it more than I ever thought they would.
Oh, that's perfect. That's great. So there was a period of time where I actually kind of played the role of a universal banker myself. And I know that the training curve can be there's definitely a training curve. I mean, there's a lot that you have to learn all at the same time. Did you find yourself doing a lot of adaptation to your new hire training as well? Did you have a formal new hire training in place when you made this change? What did that look like?
We had to reimagine all of our programs, not just training the existing associates, but training new hires. It also allowed us to take a look at some of our systems and how our systems could complement this. And I think in the future it's going to change the way we hire. For instance, in the past, what we wanted was someone who had cash handling experience, right? We wanted to know that they knew how to count money and
Count
make
cash, right.
and all that kind of stuff. In the future, I think we're going to be hiring much more for customer service experience and sales experience and people who are passionate about having conversations with customers and really getting to the heart of what their needs are.
So that actually brings up a great crossover point because we started the conversation with ITMs and now we're kind of working on universal bankers. So how does an ITM impact sales? Because I mean, part of the whole sales environment is they walk up to a teller line, the teller can say, oh, I see you don't have XYZ. Let me introduce you to so and so. Or in the case of Universal, let me take you back to my desk or however you have it set up. How does an ITM impact the sales environment?
Well, and again, I think to answer the question, I actually have to go back and pull mobile in too, because what I think customers are looking for, they are looking for human interaction, they are looking for advice, they're looking for somebody to talk through the more complicated things with. They're also looking to self-serve and to handle the more routine things as quickly and efficiently as possible. And so the most efficient thing they can do is pull out their phone and transfer money for themselves on a mobile app. And they love that. When you open an account, when you take out a loan, if you invest money, you want to sit down and talk to somebody. ITM kind of fits that middle space, right? I mean, it's not a routine transaction necessarily. Maybe there's a change order involved, maybe there's multiple payments involved, things like that. But it's not really, it's not really, I need to make an appointment. I said, need to sit down and talk to somebody. So the ITM gives the customer the ability to drive through the drive-through, 6:30 at night, press the screen, talk to somebody, handle a little more complicated transaction than they can handle on their mobile app, but still a lot more flexible than set an appointment, come to the bank, that type of thing.
So do your ITM tellers have any ability of cross sale, like, or is it just mainly transactional based? You came to me, we do the transaction, you go. Are they making sale recommendations? Are they doing anything along those lines?
See, now you're thinking like you would be, like our folks are thinking, right? We just finished that the Universal Banker rollout earlier this year, and the next phase is that we are going to roll out some sales training for our ITM tellers, for our Universal staff, for our contact centers, so we can take those conversations to another level. And again, sales training it gets kind of an ugly connotation to it.
Right.
What we want to do is sales through service, right? Let's figure out what the customer is really asking, what they really need, and then let's provide some solutions to those problems.
The relationship service rather than just the transactional service.
Yep.
I completely agree and completely understand. Well, I did want to give you an opportunity kind of before we look at wrapping up the episode. I like to ask all my guests that if you could give one piece of information to banks in today's industry, be it small banks, mid-sized banks, large banks, whatever you would have it, what piece of advice would you give? And in today's market, what do you think banks need to hear?
You know, and I'm going to key off what we were just talking about, which is relationships, right? I mean, I think banking is still a noble profession. I think banking serves a fundamental need in our society and in our economies. I think our banks and bankers are the ones who can help prop up and add to and grow our local economies. And it's all through those relationships. And so as banking has changed in 37 years, and believe me, it has, that part has never changed. It's our people showing up at work. They care about their customers. They build relationships. And in doing so, they help their local communities and they help their local economies. It's a great profession, and I would encourage anybody to take part in it. But when you do, love what you do, love the people that you're working with, and feel good about what you're doing because it does make a difference.
You know, I can really second that. I like to ask that question to a lot of my guests on the show, and that's a fairly consistent answer. Is that the relationship banking, and it's just so important to the financial sector as a whole. Because I mean, there's definitely been times where we've lost, or the financial sector has lost trust of the customer base. So just having that relationship and the ability to talk to someone, like, I think that is key and important. Art, thank you very much for joining us for today's episode. Really appreciate you joining us for today's show and bringing your experience with you.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
For the rest of our listeners, thank you for listening in, and that's Banking Matters.